CBS World News brings you the early morning report from its correspondents at home and abroad. Here are the headlines of the biggest news received to 8 a.m. Eastern Wartime on Friday, June 26th. More than 1,000 RAF bombers raided Bremen and other German cities during the night. The British admit that Axis forces have driven 100 miles beyond the Egyptian border to a point 30 miles west of Mossa Matruh. On the Russian front, there's no report of further Nazi advances in the Kharkov sector, but the defenders of Sevastopol continue to hold out against Nazi attacks. Allied airmen from Australia have conducted their heaviest raid to date on Japanese bases in the Southwest Pacific. And now here is Harry Marble, who will call in our reporters from important news centers and give you other news from world battlefronts not covered by direct pickup.
Before hearing more of that heavy British raid on Bremen direct from London, here is the news from the Southwest Pacific. Allied planes have raided Japanese bases at Rabaul on New Britain, Dili on Timor Island, and Salamaua in New Guinea. General MacArthur reports that the raids constituted one of the heaviest blows to date on enemy positions. The Allied bombers smashed an important enemy target, barracks, airdromes, and supply piles, and troop concentrations. At the same time, a Japanese attempt to bomb the Allied base at Port Moresby was beaten off by Allied planes. No losses at all for our side. And now let's hear from CBS foreign correspondent. For news of last night's heavy RAF raid on Bremen, we take you to London.
CBS London, Charles Collingwood reporting. More than 1,000 British bombers attacked Bremen last night. As on the previous 1,000 bomber raids, the Royal Air Force gathered its strength and hurled everything it had at the single target. Every one of the RAF specialized commands sent planes out last night. Fighters, bombers, planes assigned to the Army Cooperation Command and the Coastal Command all took part in the raid. While the main force concentrated on Bremen, other bombers and fighters attacked the German airdromes in the Low Countries, the airdromes which lie within the range of the path the main force was beating towards Bremen. Of all this miscellaneous force, 52 planes have not come back to England. This is the most the RAF has ever lost from a single operation. But proportionally, it's not so bad. About 5% of the total force. The kind of loss the air staff has to count on. The RAF does not encourage speculation on the total weight of bombs dropped. But you can be sure that last night's force unloaded at least as many as fell on Cologne. And, like the raid on Cologne, last night's attack must have been concentrated within the space of an hour or two. Quite apart from the terrifying effect of such a short raid, the hours of darkness are now so few that planes striking at Bremen don't have time to linger long over the target. The RAF has been practicing for this mass raid on Bremen. Flying by the hundreds, they have been perfecting the technique of directing thousands over a small target in a short time. On June 3rd, they focused a large force on Bremen itself for half an hour. And just the other night, another large force dropped its bombs on Emden in less than an hour. Bremen is an important target. It's the second largest seaport in the whole of Germany. Besides being a port, it's an important shipbuilding center, particularly for the building of submarines. More than that, there's an oil refinery, big aircraft factories, and other important industries. We don't know yet how much damage was done in this latest 1,000 bomber attack. There hasn't been time for reconnaissance yet, and cloudy weather kept the pilots last night from seeing much more than large fires. But RAF officials in London are confident that great damage was caused. Sharing attention with this latest mass air attack is still the controversy over the defeat in Libya. The indications are that public opinion is settling down to an acceptance of the new situation. Even the House of Commons, which at the beginning of this week was very touchy, is disposed to be calmer. Political experts agree that the anti-Churchill forces in the House are growing less powerful every day. This is Charles Collingwood in London, returning you to Columbia in New York.
For the news in our own nation's capital, we take you now to Washington.
CBS Washington, John Purcell reporting. There's a bewildering cross-current of optimism and pessimism noticeable here in Washington. Some officials are still suffering from the hangover induced by news of the fall of Tobruk, the battering of Sevastopol, and German infiltration in the Kharkov area. And others are pleased, although not elated, by the general feeling of encouragement that congressional leaders and members of the Pacific War Council took away with them after conferences with President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Churchill. It is felt in some quarters that Mr. Churchill, in his report to the congressional delegation, minimized the seriousness of the Egyptian situation. There is some criticism, too, that our own Navy is sugarcoating the bad news. Senator Ellender of Louisiana intimates that the Navy is not revealing all the sinkings taking place in the Atlantic, and there is speculation as to why we are not getting fuller reports on the Japanese invasion of the Aleutian Islands. Some people feel that the Navy is deliberately minimizing the strategic importance of Kiska, which has now been occupied by a Jap landing force. The Office of Price Administration announces a new system of gas racing to become effective July 22nd. A cards for Eastern motorists will be good for 4 gallons of gasoline instead of 3 each week. On the basis of 15 miles to the gallon, this will mean 2,880 miles of driving annually. But only motorists who drive more than 1,800 miles to and from work will be eligible for supplemental rations. Those who receive B-books will be entitled to 64 gallons of gas for 3 months' use. C-coupons will be good for 384 gallons. Motorists applying for B and C books must, however, prove that their occupational driving exceeds 1,800 miles a year, and also that they have formed car-sharing clubs to take 3 or more persons to and from work. Applications for ration books will extend from July 9th through July 11th. And as a supplemental to rubber conservation and gasoline rationing, government agencies are inaugurating a drive for carpooling. The Public Roads Administration predicts that unless this is done, there will be a crisis soon in the transportation of war workers. This is John Purcell in Washington, returning you to CBS in New York.
Now for a report direct from the Russian capital, we take you to Moscow.
CBS Moscow, Larry Lester reporting. A message received from the Soviet Far East today accuses Japanese submarines of sinking the Russian merchant ship Angus Doyle under highly suspicious circumstances. The explanation published in Japanese newspapers is that the torpedoing was committed by an American submarine, but the record crew of the Soviet ship flatly denies this. First news of the sinking of the Soviet merchant ship was published in the official Soviet press today, although the ship was actually sunk almost 2 months ago, on May 1st. The Trump agency account says that according to information received from Harbin, capital of Japanese Manchukuo, the crew of the Soviet ship arrived in Daran after being sunk by 2 torpedoes 30 miles off the Japanese coast. It seems that on April 24th, the Soviet vessel was stopped by a Japanese warship and forced to steam to a Japanese port for search. The ship was then allowed to proceed on a course indicated by Japanese naval authorities. But on the night of May 1st, the Soviet ship was hit by 2 torpedoes. The Russian crew took the lifeboat, and 2 Japanese submarines immediately surfaced and escorted the Soviet lifeboat to a Japanese ship. In spite of the fact that the sinking occurred in an area heavily guarded by Japanese naval forces, confirmed by the presence of 2 Japanese submarines on the spot, says the official Soviet news agency, Japanese newspapers allege that the ship was sunk by an American submarine. The rescued Soviet crew says that this explanation does not hold water. Over Sebastopol, the red banner of the Soviet Union still fluttered this morning, but the enemy has thrown in 2 new German and 1 new Romanian divisions against the Black Sea naval base. Their attacks are coming from the north and also from the directions of Inkerman and Balaclava. In the Ukraine,